air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, local property tax rates are set to remain unchanged in Donegal for the next 2 years. There needs to be positive discrimination of the North West region. That's according to a Midlands North West MEP who has been reacting to the European Commission's downgrading of the north and west of the country to a lagging region. The National Broadband Plan will cost around €128 million to be fully installed in Donegal, the second highest amount in the country. And concerns have been raised about refugees from other countries coming into Donegal under the Ukrainian refugee umbrella. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly. First news this evening, local property tax rates are set to remain unchanged in Donegal for the next 2 years in accordance with the recommendation of officials. Donegal County Councillors voted today to retain the 15% increase agreed in 2019. Councillor Kieran Brogan formally proposed the rate be retained at the current level, stressing it is not an increase. He says the huge investments being made across Donegal is a result of the funding from LPT.
I think it's important we send out a very clear message that that's dealt with now for the next number of years. But I think there was a lot of misinformation being portrayed that we were increasing the LPT by 15%. That has not been the case. Now, it has not been increased since 2019. 2020 and 21 and 22 has always been the same rate. And that's what we've done today. And I think it's very important that we're open and honest and transparent about the decisions we take. And sending out misinformation is not the right thing to do.
The fact remains it is 15% above the baseline as had been agreed in 2019.
That's
so
right.
That 15% increase agreed in 2019 effectively has been retained year on year.
Yeah, and I think since we took that leap of faith in 2019, an awful lot of funding has come into the county. We've seen the open 20 million for the URDF for Letterkenny. We've seen millions for projects in Remelton. We've seen the 3 million for the pier in Rathmullen. We've seen money for Milford. We've seen the digital hub in Kerrigart. We've seen the 12 million for Dunree. We've seen the half a million work for Errigal Mountain. So, I mean, the Barton Port, Aaron Moore, Cairn Donna, Ballybuffet, Kelly Beggs. I mean, the amount of hundreds of millions that's coming into the county over the last number of years have never been experienced before. And after, for our part as a council, I think it was a leap of faith. But I think we've been, I suppose, vindicated in the fact that we did step up to the mark, but the funding has also followed through. We've seen an awful lot of investment, never seen as much investment. And I suppose, I think the biggest challenge for us now as a council is to see out these projects. We've seen the huge success of the investment in places like Aaron Moore and Barton Port, and this is game-changing. Tourism's a big part of what we are in the county, and we've seen huge investment in these areas right across the county, and we are reaping the benefits, and the people of the county are reaping the benefits.
Well, Councillor Michael McBride, seconded by Councillor Gary Doherty, proposed a return to the baseline, while Councillor Micheál Colmogill-Asbog sought to have it reduced to 15%, below that, the lowest point possible. Councillor Gary Doherty believes as the cost of living continues to rise, LPT should have been reduced.
As the party outlined in our alternative budget proposals last Friday, Donal, we as a party don't believe in the local property tax at all. We believe it's an unjust austerity tax on the family home. And as per our proposals at national level, we are proposing to scrap the tax from next year on. And certainly we believe at this time, when the cost of living crisis is really biting hard for most people across the country, it's completely unjustifiable that Donegal County Council would seek to increase property tax again back to the levels that they have been in the last 3 years, because people simply can't afford to pay it.
Now, there's a big semantic discussion here at Council at the moment on, is this an increase? Is this retaining the same tax that the proposers of the motion, Councillors Brogan, Hardy et al., are arguing that basically what they're doing is keeping it at the same level it's been for the past 3 years. It's not an increase, they say.
As you said, this is semantics, because every year when we vote on this, we vote for a 15% increase or a 15% reduction for a period of 1 year. And after that 1 year period, everything goes back to the base level. So there's a base level in Donegal, and every year, every September, we take a vote on what we're doing with the base level. So today the vote was to whether to increase that base level from the base level to a 15% increase or to keep it at the same level. We've voted to retain or to revert to the base level of the property tax, which would be in effect a 15% reduction for homeowners on what they've been paying in the last 3 years. What was proposed today was a 15% increase on the base level. So it's semantics whether it is or isn't an increase. The fact is, it's a 15% increase on the base level, which is what we're currently at before the vote.
The final touches are being put on Budget 2023. Once-off payments for carers, cuts to income tax and tax credits for renters have all been agreed today. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
With less than 24 hours to go until Budget 2023 is announced, we know most of what's going to be in it. A once-off €500 payment for carers and people with disabilities has been confirmed. The entry point for the higher rate of income tax is being raised to €40,000. The Help to Buy scheme is being retained for two more years, while there will be a double payment of the carers' allowance in the coming months. An electricity credit of €600 will be given to households over three payments. The final things to be decided include how much social welfare will increase by, most likely by €12 across core rates, the amount of money a renter's tax credit will be worth, likely in the region of €400 or €500, and the rate of an energy support scheme for businesses is still being decided, along with what the Department of Health will do with its budget allocation.
There needs to be positive discrimination of the North West region. That's according to Midlands North West MEP Colin Markey, who was reacting to the European Commission's downgrading of the north and west of the country to a lagging region. The area has been downgraded, as it has been noted as being significantly poorer relative to the European average over recent years. The Commission says the region faced a range of challenges, including lower productivity and educational attainment, as well as having a weaker skills base. Colin Markey believes the establishment of the ATU will make a huge difference in addressing the findings.
We've always recognised that the Northwest region, if you like, was the one that was lagging most in the country. And I suppose we continue to need to address that situation. I think the fact that the Atlantic Technical University has been set up is a great opportunity to get greater investment into the West. Like, one of the things that was identified was lower educational attainment and weaker skills base. Those are two things that perhaps through the technological university we can try to prioritise. But I do think there needs to be some level of, if you like, a positive discrimination of the Northwest region to allow it to redress that balance, if you like. And I think we'll have to look at what can be done in that regard. But it should be said at the same time that over the last 2 years, I think the counties with the greatest growth in employment have been Donegal, Leitrim, Sligo, Monaghan and Cavan. So it's not all bad news. I think these figures go back to about 2019, really, was when 2019 and up to 2019, and in one case up to 2021. But I think the reality is, we know it's a region that needs greater investment. And I think the idea of establishing the Technical University, like the Northwest region, had a significant deficit in, let's say, third level provision. And I think if you look at inward investment, in foreign direct investment into the country, one thing they do identify is to have, let's say, colleges that they can work alongside for research and development and skill and developing skills bases. So I think that as a step is very important. But on the bigger picture, I do think there has to be strong, hard look to see what else can be done for the region.
The national broadband plan will cost around €128 million to be fully installed in Donegal, the second highest amount in the country. 33,000 premises in the county are expected to be connected to high-quality broadband. Letterkenny is now complete, with around 3,000 premises ready to be connected, while work is underway in Creaslaw. The project is not expected to be complete in Donegal until the end of 2025. Many councillors in the county have expressed their frustration at the slow progress being made. Chief Executive of the National Broadband Plan, TJ Malone, says they are ahead in terms of delivering the project despite a number of delays.
We understand that we got off to a slow start right across the country, not just in Donegal, it was across the country. COVID hit us very hard as a start. We, like any major infrastructure project of this size and scale, you're going to come across the three or four major problems in the first 12 or 18 months. We've encountered them. We hope we've found resolutions and ways around them. You know, we always anticipated you're going to hit those problems, but then you were coupled with COVID. That wasn't something we saw. And COVID looks to be pretty much behind us at this stage. We're making really good progress now. We sat down with the Department of Environment and Communications at the start of the year. We agreed a plan for this year. We're currently tracking ahead of that plan and a recovery. So our plan was always 7 years for the entire country. We were probably delayed by somewhere between 9 and 12 months. We see a pathway back now to trying to get back to that 7 years and to try and maybe see if we can accelerate it beyond that. So yeah, we're making a lot of good progress at the moment, and we're installing or building, you know, somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 premises a month at this stage. So getting back on track and recovering the ground that we lost early on.
And Donegal County Council today has put their workforce forward if in any way that they can help these. Will you be taking up their offer on that to see if you can accelerate the project in any way?
I've made a commitment there today to the Chief Executive of the local authority that we will put together a working group with Donegal Local Authority and obviously working with the local councillors here as well to see if there's any way that we can pilot different services up here to see if there's a chance that we can bring forward any of those premises that are in the latter part of it. So as I said, it's a 7-year programme. We're 3 years into that programme now, so 4 years left before any of the homes that are in the intervention area are completed.
Concerns have been raised about refugees from other countries coming into Donegal under the Ukrainian refugee umbrella. Councillor Donal Coyle raised the issue at the latest JPC meeting. He believes there may be a number of people coming into the county who are not travelling from Ukraine and has called for it to be investigated. Councillor Coyle says the welfare of Ukrainian refugees relocating to the county must be a top priority also.
I have no definitive evidence on it, but at the same time, look, it looks like that may well be the case, like, you know. And I would also have concerns about, you know, the numbers coming into the county and how well they're being looked after as well. And I would definitely have a concern about that, yes. You know, and I'm just wondering, like, you know, what oversight is, you know, is there, like, you know, to make sure that the Ukrainians that have come into this county, you know, that their welfare is being looked after in the proper manner. And I'm not too sure that was happening in all cases, to be honest.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with international football. Stephen Kenny says he won't be making radical changes to the Republic of Ireland side for tomorrow night's Nations League game with Armenia. They go into the tie off the back of a 2-1 defeat away to Scotland, which means relegation to League C remains a possibility. But Kenny says the home fans can lift them to victory tomorrow.
You know, we've seen in our last home game here against Scotland, you know, it was an emphatic 3-0 win against... we haven't beaten a high-ranked nation team like that in many years here at home, like that, convincingly and or at all. So that was very important, and we backed that up with a very strong performance in the Ukraine. Played really well in the Ukraine, Andrew, and played quite well overall on Saturday. We're disappointed to lose the game, so we want to back that up with a strong performance tomorrow night.
Trent Alexander-Arnold has been left out of England's squad for tonight's Nations League meeting with Germany. Brentford's Ivan Toney is included and could be in line to make his debut. That one starts at 7:45 at Wembley. Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley says he's expecting a tough challenge against UCD tonight. The Hoops have the chance to move 5 points clear of Derry City at the top of the Premier Division if they beat the Students. UCD currently sit just a point above bottom side Finn Harps. Despite dropping points in the goalless draw recently with Shelburne, Shamrock Rovers manager Bradley says his Chargers are still in a good position.
Again, another tough one. End of season. They're obviously fighting to stay out of that playoff spot, and we're obviously fighting to win the league, so it'll be a tough game. But like you said, if you offered me this at the start of the season, I definitely would have taken it.
That one starts at the Talis Stadium at 8 o'clock. This year's Donegal Harvest Stages Rally was launched yesterday evening in Gortahork, and the much-anticipated entry list was also released. The defending champion Callum Devine will return to the county on Saturday week, October 8th, in a VW Polo with number one on the car. The Derry man had 10 seconds to spare on Declan Boyle in his Harvest win last year. Next month's event is based out of Chakvelly and Gortahork, with stages also taking in Fulcara. There will be 3 stages done 3 times, with over 100 stage kilometres for the competitors. Chasing Devine will be a host of talented drivers like Sam Moffat, Declan Boyle, Robert Barabel, Patter Herson and Eamon Kelly, just to name a few, while Kevin Gallagher and Kevin Eaves are the top seeds in the two-wheel drive modified section. The Donegal LGFA have confirmed the match details for the Senior and Intermediate Championship finals next weekend. A doubleheader will be played at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Sunday the 2nd of October. First up will be the Intermediate decider at 12:30 between Éirua and Ardra, with the Senior meeting of Glenfinn and Termon from 2:30. Championship action continues in Tyrone tonight with the last of the round one last 16 encounters, and it's a big one as well. Carrickmore up against Coal Island. The winners of that game will play Loch McCrory in the quarterfinals. Niamh Connell booked their place in the Donegal Senior Championship final for a sixth successive year after they beat Gweedore 13-1 in McCool Park yesterday afternoon. We'll be looking at that game tonight on the DEL Debate. I'll be joined by Niamh Connell's John Gilday and from the Glen Swilly Club, Gary McDade. Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News will also be running his eye over the Junior and Intermediate Championship. And Brian Toohey talks to us as well about the upcoming 40th celebrations as they mark the occasion when Donegal won the All-Ireland Under-21 Championship for the very first time in 1982. It's all part of the DL Debate tonight here on Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news. The Mayo County Board are awaiting the referee's report before addressing an abandoned under-17 football semi-final. An incident involving an adult non-player and one of the under-17s forced the referee to call a halt to the game, with Castlebar Mitchells leading Westport. Mayo GAA said the incident will be addressed at a meeting of their CCC this coming week. Finally, in rugby, Stuart Lancaster is leaving Leinster at the end of the season to take up the position of Director of Rugby at Racing 92. He's been with Leinster since 2016, working under Leo Cullen as a senior coach. Lancaster has signed a four-year contract with the top 14 Giants. Leinster are due to face Racing in the pool stages of this season's Hennigan's Champions Cup. And that's your sport for the moment, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, the Donegal County Council is calling for the government to abandon plans to criminalise turf. Councillor John Hamish O'Farrey says he has been contacted by a number of people who are concerned about the fast approaching winter and the impact of the ban. He's warning that turf could be the only source of heat for some people. Councillor O'Farrey will be proposing the ban, says the government is failing to offer an alternative measure for those dependent on turf.
Calling on the minister to abandon his criminalisation and the policy on our turf cutter population over the last number of weeks, and there was a ban since the 1st of September. A number of people have contacted me, elderly people, in relation to this, and they can't seem to, people that were providing turf last year and previous years for them, that they're frightened to contact these people, and they're informed that they can't sell any turf to them. And again, this might be the only source of warming their homes, which is turf, and it's a cheap fossil fuel as well, compared to when you see the oil prices and gas prices escalating, and the coal prices, which has escalated over the last year, huge prices, and people just can't afford it. And again, there seems to be nothing coming from the government to replace such things as warming their houses for old people, for solar paneling and all this schemes that they have. But out there, it's going to be a severe winter for older people and people that were depending on the turf. And again, criminalising the turf cutters that are providing these, that they can't sell or distribute turf to these people that depend on it.
The manager of the Donegal Domestic Violence Centre believes the introduction of a paid leave for victims of domestic violence will make a big difference. The bill, once enacted, will mean those who are suffering or at risk of domestic violence will be entitled to 5 days paid leave per year. Dr. Marie Hainsworth told the 9 to Noon show that while the leave will be helpful for victims, staff must be trained to deal with the situation.
the moment people are having to use ordinary leave, you know. Often if a domestic violence incident happens, you know, a family have to uproot, they have to move, they have to go to court. So there's quite a bit of a time requirement by victims that isn't always able to be facilitated by the workplace, that, you know, because people are having to use sick leave or they're having to use annual leave. And the difference with this particular type of leave is that it's immediate. Yes, definitely for clients that we work with, and certainly those that are having to look for accommodation or look for legal support, this kind of leave could make a big difference.
Weather night, cloudy tonight with a good deal of dry weather overall, though isolated showers will continue to develop. Lowest temperatures of 8 to 11 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, local property tax rates are set to remain unchanged in Donegal for the next 2 years in accordance with the recommendation of officials. Donegal County Councillors voted today to retain the 15% increase agreed in 2019. The final touches are being put on Budget 2023. Once-off payments for carers, cuts to income tax and tax credits for renters have all been agreed today. There needs to be positive discrimination of the North West region. That's according to Midlands North West MEP Colin Markey, who was reacting to the European Commission's downgrading of the north and west of the country to a lagging region. And the National Broadband Plan will cost around €128 million to be fully installed in Donegal, the second highest amount in the country. 33,000 premises in the county are expected to be connected to high-quality broadband. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to your podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Monday evening, September the 26th. The death has taken place of Michael Bernard Mickey B. McElhinney, late of 12 Millside Crescent, Park, County Derry, reposing at his sister's home, 21 Stonywood, Victoria Road, Derry. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning, leaving at 10 o'clock for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Alton Ewer, interment immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Sarah Sally Tallon, 18 Wheatfield Court, Muff and formerly Leixlip, County Kildare. Sarah's remains will be reposing at her home tomorrow from 12 noon until 8 o'clock. Removal from her home on Wednesday morning to the Sacred Heart Church, Muff for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by private cremation in Lecklands, County Cavan. Sarah's Requiem Mass will be viewed on mcmmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridie McGlinchey, Nate Bradley, Clunbeg, Buncrana. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving her late residence at 20 past 10 on Wednesday morning, walking to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral can be viewed live on churchservices.tv. Wake private from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place of Johnny Kern, Sheshkin Beg, Gidor. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, today until 8 o'clock. Rosary at 8 o'clock and tomorrow from 4 o'clock until 6:45. Removal afterwards to St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, for 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The death has taken place of Bridget Gallagher, Ards Creaslaw, reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creaslaw, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Creaslaw Day Centre, care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Isabel Hanlon, Nae McKinley, Cor Craig and Dunfanaghy. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. house private at the request of the deceased. Funeral service in Holy Trinity Church, Hornhead Road, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Clondahorkey Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Little Angel School, Letterkenny, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.